1 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul is using himself as an example, which he often did, to teach us the importance of focusing on being what we need to be for the sake of the lost. And this is something that we often don't think about. We know we're supposed to witness to the lost. But God says in this passage that we're even supposed to try to relate to them as much as possible to more effectively win them to Christ and have an opportunity to share the gospel with them. I call it flexibility, if you will, being willing to be flexible and try to relate to them and be as much like them as you can, obviously without sinning, to have more of an opportunity to win them to Christ. And Paul refers to that here in verse 19 of 1 Corinthians 9, where we'll begin. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." So he said, "I've made myself servant unto all." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we're blessed to be able to assemble here this morning in the name of Jesus Christ around your word, and pray now the Holy Spirit would take your word and apply it to our hearts, each individually, where needed. Lord, that we would be listening and learning and allowing these changes to take place in our spiritual walk. If there's someone in our service not born again, that they would realize that without Jesus Christ, they have no hope of heaven, and that they would come to Christ. So, Lord, be glorified in this service. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As he starts off there, free from all men. What does he mean by that? What he means is that the day we were saved, we were made free from the bondage of the law. We were given liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're no longer under the Old Testament law. Now we have the laws of Jesus Christ, or the commandments of Jesus Christ that we're to follow. But those commandments, as we're told in 1 John 5, are not grievous. They're a blessing. We can enjoy our Christian life a lot more if we live an obedient Christian life. What he means here is we're not under the bondage anymore. We've been made free. And praise God, we've been made free. If you look over in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, God talks about this liberty that we have in Christ and how we're not to abuse the liberty, but we're to use it, if you will. Notice Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, you've been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." In other words, don't use your liberty as an excuse to sin or to live in disobedience, but use your liberty as an opportunity to serve others, which is what this passage is all about. Paul says here in our passage, verse 19, "I've made myself servant unto all." And that should be our mission as well. We should see this world as people that God has given us an opportunity to serve, to be a blessing to. You know, sometimes when we've been saved a while, we lose perspective and we begin to look down on the lost and see them as so horrible and so wicked, and we begin to talk bad about them. We need to stop and reflect and realize that if we didn't have Christ, we'd be right where they are. They're just doing what lost people do. They're acting like lost people. And we're not to hate them. We're to love them. And we're to hate the sin and love the sinner. Amen? But we're to, as Jesus did, we're to have compassion on them. We're to care about their souls. And that's what Paul's saying here. "I've made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more." Jesus, if you go to Matthew 20, came with this same attitude when he came to the earth. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, I came to serve." Now he did that obviously so that people could be saved, but he also did that to be an example to you and me, that we are not here to be served, we are here to serve. Notice Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. He said, I didn't come to be ministered to, even though I could demand that as the Son of God. I came to minister. And Paul is saying the same. He said, I've made myself servant unto all. When I see the lost, I ask myself, how can I serve them? How can I have an opportunity to touch them on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ? And we should have that same perspective, that when we see them as souls in need of a Savior. Go to Romans 1, if you would, verse 15. And Paul uses the word debtor here, and it's a very important word. Verse 14 of Romans 1, he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. What does he mean? Paul's looking at it from God's perspective. And if you're here this morning and you're born again, you didn't get saved in a vacuum, did you? Somebody shared the gospel with you. And somebody shared the gospel with that person. And it goes all the way back to the apostles. Word of mouth. People sharing the gospel with people. That's why we're here this morning. And he said, that makes me a debtor to others. I need to pass it on. I owe them an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. Just like someone took the time to tell each of us. And then another verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 2, if you would. Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Again, Paul speaking, he says, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. We are not here to focus on pleasing ourselves. We're here to focus on pleasing our neighbor. Let's be honest, that's not how we're wired, is it, as sinners? We're wired to be very self-focused. I'm not saying that's right, but I'm saying in our fallen state, that's just how we are. It's all about pleasing me, making me happy. God says, now that you're children of God, your focus is to be serving others. Your focus is to be on others. And by the way, this word servant, today we look at it as a very negative word. In the scriptures, God looks at it as a very positive word. When he refers back to Moses, he says, my servant Moses. That's a compliment, isn't it? Because God held Moses up as a great man of God. He said, my servant Moses. The Lord Jesus Christ, if you go to Philippians chapter 2, as we already saw in Matthew, he came to earth to serve, not to be served. And the Bible says we're to follow his example. Philippians chapter 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So what mind is that? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a what? Servant. He says, let this mind be in you, the mind of a servant. Follow the example of Jesus Christ and see yourself as a servant to others. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. I've made myself servant unto all, not just the saved, but the lost. Servant unto all. And then he gives us those many examples there in verses 20 and 21. But Paul is saying that whatever it takes, I'm going to do my best to relate to the lost. Whether, as he says in verse 20, whether they're a Jew. Verse 21, whether they're without law. Or whether they're weak. Whatever their situation is, I'm going to do my best to try to relate to them and try to be as much like them as I can so that they will listen to me when I share the gospel. You know, when Paul would go into a city to start a church, what's the first thing he did? He would always go straight to the synagogue. on the Sabbath day and preach to the Jews. And he would preach using the Old Testament scriptures, showing them that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment of all the prophecies about the Messiah. And then often the Gentiles would hear about the crowds and they would come and they would want to hear too. And then Paul would preach to them. But then when he preached to them, he didn't go back and teach them from all the Old Testament prophecies because they didn't know them. They weren't Jews. And he would preach to them differently. You look at his sermon in Acts 17 where he's preaching to the people in Athens and compare that to his sermons when he was preaching to Jews, completely different sermons. Paul said, I have made myself servant unto all. To the weak, I'm as weak. To the Jew, I'm like a Jew. To the non-Jew, I'm like a non-Jew. I'm going to do everything I can to make myself relatable so that I might have an opportunity to serve the lost. He says in Philippians 4, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. We looked at that last week before last under contentment. So he says, I am made, in verse 22, I am made all things to all men. If you go to Philippians 2:13 quickly, what does he mean when he says, I am made? Well, what he's saying is I do the best I can to make myself servant unto all. But now he's saying, I am made all things to all men. What he's saying is he does what he can, but he also needs help from the Lord. And we're the same, aren't we? We need to do everything that we can to try to relate to the lost so we can witness to them. We also need God's help so that he can make us more effective witnesses for Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave us the power to witness. Amen. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses, he said. So notice Philippians 2:13, what God is teaching here. He says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God that's constantly working in our lives, making us more like Jesus. But while he's making us more like Jesus, if we will yield and surrender to him, he will also make us more effective servants to the lost. Give us those opportunities. Help us to be more relatable to them so they're more likely to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said here in verse 22, I made all things to all men. If you would look at chapter 10, just the next chapter over, verse 33, 1 Corinthians. He says, this is why we're here. We're not here to please ourselves. We're here to please God. And one of the ways we're to please God is by serving others. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many that they may be saved. That's the ultimate goal of all of it, isn't it? That they may be saved. There is no other greater motive than that. That they can be rescued from their sin. That they may be saved. And so he says that I might by all means, there in verse 22, save some. Now, I think we would all agree that Paul was probably a pretty good preacher. He did have an ailment. We don't know what it was. But even the Apostle Paul, we read in Acts 28, it says, some believe the things which were spoken, and some believe not. Sometimes such a big crowd was angry about what he said that they would actually try to stone him or kill him and he'd have to run for his life, literally. And what it's saying is, no matter how hard we try, no matter how much we relate to the lost, no matter how much we make ourselves servant at all, it doesn't mean that every single person we witness to is going to get saved. It doesn't work that way. Because that's not up to us, that's up to their heart. And some people will listen and respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction, and some won't. But that's not our problem. That's between them and God. Our responsibility is to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. So that some, as we read there in verse 22, so that some would be saved. Not all of them are going to be saved. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. It's sad, but it's true that the majority of human beings will reject Jesus Christ. Jesus said it himself, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. That should make us that much more thankful that we're in the minority, amen? That we found Christ and we trusted Christ and we found eternal life. Paul says down in verse 16 of our passage there, he says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. He's pronouncing a woe upon himself if he stops trying to serve others, if he stops witnessing to the lost. He says, woe unto me. Because sometimes it's easy to forget that hell is real. If you go to 2 Corinthians 5:11 quickly, when he talks about saving some, what are they getting saved from? They're getting saved from the consequences of being a sinner. And what are those consequences? To perish without Jesus Christ. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. You think people won't understand the terror of the Lord in hell? I guarantee you they will. But it'll be too late. Paul says, knowing what's coming to those who choose not to accept Jesus Christ, knowing what they're going to face, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We do our best to persuade people with the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be saved. 2 Timothy 2, turn there quickly. He says it again here in 2 Timothy 2:24. Talking about us, we are the servant of the Lord. And he says, as the servant of the Lord. So now we have a bit more context with that verse, word servant, don't we? We're not just here to serve God. We're here to serve others. That's how we serve God. But the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Look at this next phrase. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Whenever you share the gospel with a lost person, that's what you're doing. You are instructing people that are opposing themselves. They're not thinking straight. They're thinking, well, either there's not a God, which is ridiculous, because where'd creation come from if there wasn't a designer? Or they're thinking, well, he's going to let everybody go to heaven. Well, then you don't understand the nature of God. You don't understand that he's holy, that he's righteous, and that we aren't. That he's also, as we studied in Sunday school, he's just, and sin will be punished. So we are to instruct those that oppose themselves. Look at the next part of the verse. If God peradventure will give them repentance under the acknowledging of the truth. You and I don't have the power to cause anybody to repent. We only have the gospel. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to present the gospel. But it's God that, as we read there, will give them the repentance. The Holy Spirit will convict their heart. And hopefully they will respond and say, yes, there is a God. And yes, God loves me. And yes, I deserve to go to hell. And yes, Jesus paid the price for my sin, and I want his salvation. I want the eternal life that he offers. But it's God that does that. God gives them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. We just instruct them, as we read here. And then another verse, John chapter 3, if you would, and verse 18. And so what Paul is teaching us is we need to learn as Christians that we are servants, not only to our brothers and sisters in Christ, we are servants to the lost. And we are to do everything in our power to try to relate to them where they are, without sinning, of course. That's what Paul said in parentheses there. To get an opportunity to share the precious gospel of Jesus Christ so they can be saved. Notice John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on me is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. What does he mean by that? It means until a person is saved, they're already condemned. When we talk to the kids in the Bible clubs, I say, what do you have to do to go to hell? They've learned that it's a trick question. So now they raise their hand and they say nothing. Because that's the answer. To go to hell, you're already going. If you're not saved, you're already going to hell. If you're a human being, you're a sinner, and you're going to hell. It's already done. You're already condemned. You must be saved to be not condemned. And that's what Paul's saying. I'm doing all of this. What is my end goal? To save some. That some who I serve, who I do my best to relate to and share the gospel with, some of them will stop opposing themselves and they'll repent. And they'll acknowledge that the gospel is true. And their Creator does love them enough to die for them and give them eternal life if they will but repent and ask Him to. And just some will do that and, praise the Lord, get saved. And that's what it's all about. I mean, think about it. What is it all about? Why are we here? Well, we've got to look back to Calvary. The greatest love story ever told is our Creator loved us enough to die as our substitute. Well, why did He do that? So we could have fun? No. He did it to save us from our sins. Amen? So that must mean it's pretty important. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. When Jesus died on the cross, He died for everyone. But that doesn't mean everyone's going to heaven. They must acknowledge what He did and ask Him for His forgiveness, ask Him for His salvation, and He will freely give it, praise God. Our job is to be this servant unto all, is to look for opportunities. If it's a Jew, we do our best to relate to them from a Jewish perspective. If it's a Gentile, we do our best to relate to them from a Gentile perspective. If it's a weak person, we do our best to relate to them as a weak person, and so forth. We do our best to relate to them that we might be a servant unto all. I'm all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now we could choose to say, yeah, I hear all that, but I'm just going to keep quiet until Jesus comes. We can do that, but we will regret it. There will be tears initially in heaven. The Bible says God's going to wipe them away. Hallelujah for that. Can't spend all of eternity in heaven with daily regrets, but there's going to be initial regrets at the judgment seat of Christ. And those, I believe the majority of those regrets are going to be exactly what we're talking about here. Not doing our best to relate to lost people, to tell them the great news. The simple story of how Jesus became a man and died as their substitute and rose again and offered them eternal life. Just tell them the good news. Some people will get mad. They got so mad at Paul and the apostles, they stoned them and killed some of them. They hung Jesus on the cross. But some will listen. We did, amen? All Christians did. Some will listen and repent and trust Christ. And that's why we're here. We're here to be a servant unto all. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for speaking to